The reading this morning is perhaps the shortest we've ever had, I think. It's from John 10, verses 7-10. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come so that they have life and have it to the full. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I've got someone to introduce to you in a moment. What we're looking at in the Bible today is all about sheep. And I want you to think about it. And I'm going to see that it might not be as cute as you think. I want to tell you about a friend of mine. He's from South Africa, and you'll get his English name is Goodenough. His surname's Ntembu, and he was a minister at our church. He's probably about 30 years older than me. But can you guess some of his jobs before he became a minister of the church? Anyone want to guess what he did? Anyone? Come on, girls over here in the front. What job do you think he did? Anyone want to guess any jobs? Tomkin boys? Yes, James. Sorry, people on Zoom. Yes, but before that, you know what he was? He was a robber. He was a robber, but before that, he was a shepherd. He was 6 years old. He was sent up. Now, does anyone... This is older people. Anyone watch the movie Zulu with Michael Caine? Don't you? I won't say the rest. And that's the countryside that he worked in. And there are thunderstorms. Now, let me say, who's here has heard a thunderstorm before? You have seen them? These happen all the time in summer in KZN. It's so bad that even when we used to go hiking to go up into the mountains at that time of the year, because you would be struck by lightning. And he said, until this day, he remembers when you're six, just scared because there are thunderstorms, but they had to look after the sheep. And there's not lots of nice grass. It's not like the pictures you might see. So often we think about shepherds. Is anyone sort of Jesus and he's got like long hair and a robe and he's walking without shoes on amongst flowers? Yes, you've seen them before. It's absolute rubbish, okay? And he said that he had to get stones and chase away animals. Other people would come and there's a bunch of kids just looking after these sheep with the furthest adult far away, and they had to try and look after and throw stones at people that come and try and take their sheep away. And Goodenough, I'll tell you a bit more about him, but he said it was really hard going. Now, when we see shepherds, I want to introduce you to someone who... come on. Anyone know who... Who knows? Ben, what's it? Shaun the Sheep, he's a famous sheep, okay? Let me say that if you've ever watched Shaun the Sheep, he's way more intelligent than most sheep. He's pretty clever. But when we hear the word shepherd and sheep, look at Shaun, is he cute? Can you go, aw? No. Aw, okay, but when you think about sheep and shepherds, you might want to go, aw. But you know what happened? And when Jesus said the word shepherd, everyone went like this. Can you go? Because that's the kind of thing you didn't say, because shepherd was very controversial. Shepherd was talking about a spiritual leader. And Jesus said that these people were bad shepherds. He's talking, there's a fight broken out because there was a blind man who was born blind. He couldn't see, healed him. And now everyone's called a big meeting. They are getting upset. The blind man, he can see, but his life's become very difficult. And then Jesus turns around to them and says this, what was read. I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves. But the sheep do not listen to them. Now, let me say this. There's two things that we're looking at this morning. They're lies. So, anyone ever been caught out in a lie before that they've told to their parents? Okay, someone's put up their hand. Well done. I think all of you should put up your hands. Sometime or another, I'm sure you lied to your parents. Except for my daughter, she never lies to me, right? No. A lie is something that is an untruth. And there's two big lies that we've been told. There's two big lies that everyone here has heard before. And there's two big lies that the whole world believes. And we're going to look at those lies today. So I want you to listen for the lie. The first lie is this. Let me tell you that Jesus is just one of many ways to get right with God. There's many religions out there, and they all lead to a right relationship with God. You might not even have to be religious. You can just be a good person, and you'll get into heaven. You know what Jesus says about that? Rubbish. Absolute rubbish. He says, I am the gate. It's a bit strange. Do you picture Jesus as a gate of opening and closing? A bit strange to say he's a gate. He's saying he's the doorway. There's another thing he says in the Bible. He's the stairway to heaven. Anyone know there's that music, Stairway to Heaven? Okay, they got that from the Bible. The pictures of Jesus saying that he's the way to get to God. One of the best ways I've ever seen this explained. Imagine lightning, okay? But on this, it was a comic book called Know the Truth, I think. And on the pages, it's black on one side. And you see the earth over here in space. And then there's a big bright white light. And there's on the earth, there's a little cross. And there's lightning. And in the bright white area, it says God. And there's lightning coming and connecting to Jesus on the cross. It's the way that God gets people to be friends with him. And Jesus is saying, if there's anything else other than the fact that I'm the way to heaven, it's rubbish and that's a lie. And let me say, that's not, now it's zoomed. Please, I could get into trouble for this because it sounds like hate speech. I'm not saying this. Jesus is saying this. He's saying, I am the only way. And it means. But who knows where the fire exits are? Can you point to the fire exits? There's one over there, there's one over there, and there's actually one over there. If there was a fire in the church and I had to say to you guys, don't worry, you know, you can walk through the walls, it's fine. Or what if I have to say, why don't you guys go back into the creche over there? You guys will be safe. And I ran out the door and you guys all went into the room waiting for a door to appear and the church burnt down with you in it. Exactly. That would be mean. And so when Jesus says, look, I'm the way, I'm the fire exit. I'm the way to get to God. Any other way is a lie. So this is the lie. It doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're a good person. In the day, everyone will go to be in a better place. Or it doesn't matter that there's lots of different religions. They'll all lead to the right way. Jesus doesn't think that's right. Jesus didn't think that was right so much. And he said, I'm going to die for you. You know what he said before he went to the cross? He said to God, if there's any other way, and the cross is going to be bad, not because it's painful, but because I'm going to be ripped apart from you and I'm going to have hell and all the punishment poured onto me and I don't want to do that. But not my will, but yours. And God said, this is the only way. So Jesus thinks it's the only way so much that he died so that you can be friends with him. And so the first lie is, he is the gate. Listen to him. Don't run around not finding the fire exit. You want to get before there's destruction. And so the lie is, Jesus, it's fine, it doesn't matter what you believe. But the truth is, Jesus says, look, I'm the only way. I love you so much. I've come to die for you. So hold on to that. He's the only way. He loves you so much that he came to die in each and every single one of you. Announce in a moment. We're going to just focus on one verse now. And I'm going to read it to you. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. The first time I heard this verse, I was a bit older than some of the children here. I was 16 years old. I was in my lounge, sitting on a couch in the corner, and I had four visitors from my church, a youth group. They were mostly leaders, and they came, read this verse to me and they explained it to me, and I realized for the first time that I had been lied to for 16 years because I understood this verse. And this is the lie we'll see in a moment. We've seen that Jesus is the only way, and now we'll see there's another lie. And I want to know, has anyone ever heard this before? Jesus just wants to spoil your fun. Who likes to steal stuff? Well, we don't like to. Who likes maybe lying sometimes just to get yourself out of trouble? Okay, we all lie. And the thing is, Jesus said, oh, you shouldn't lie. You shouldn't have fun. So I always thought of Jesus as someone that was out to stop me from having fun. And that's a lie. We'll see it's the opposite in this verse. No fun because he's all about rules and he's mean. He's a bit like a strict, horrible teacher that you can think of always mean. And you think, well, maybe that's what Jesus is like. And that's a lie. That's the one that the devil sold us. I worked at a church with this man, Goodenough, who was, I told you early on, he was the guy that was a shepherd and later on became a minister. And before that, he told me, in fact, the way he became a Christian, it was through an old lady who used to beg money for something I can't say in church right now, for drugs. Okay, and she would make him sit down in her lounge, a sweet little old white lady with this young black man who would come and sit in her home. This is way back in times when it wasn't right in South Africa to even do that. Long story there. And she would say, I'll give you money, but you need to listen to a 20-minute Bible study. And he did that and eventually became a Christian. But he said to me, when he was a thief, things differently. Thieves don't look at a place how to break in. They think of, how do I get out? Because they might be able to jump over the wall, but I need to get out quickly. In fact, he showed me that thieves will see a huge big locked door and go, oh, well, the lock's big, but you just need to undo the hinges and you can get in. And we were at this church in a place called Hillcrest, a little village. It was in between a big road that went up and train tracks that went off to a very rural, what they call informal settlement, basically a place where there was lots of crime. And in 12 months, in a year, broken to 11 times. The PCC were, those that looked after you, were ripping their hair out. Because first of all, they stole a fridge. They broke down the door, they stole the fridge. They carried it halfway and then hid in the bush. They stole a microwave, they stole curtains. Then they started to steal, the one time we came to church, and all they stole were the security gate. They didn't break in. The gates that were to protect people from going in were stolen. And then they started to steal the church fence. And the interesting thing was they stole it by the meter. It was perfect meterage. They were doing it made to order. And the PCC at this stage was saying, do we need to put up a fence to protect the fence? And you just knew when they were going to come. Eventually, as Goodenough settled in there, I'm not too sure what he did, but he put word out in the street and eventually things stopped. But these thieves would come all the time. The fact is you've got locks and keys. Hopefully, maybe you might think, did you lock the house when you went out? The reason we've got keys, the reason we've got companies like Yale and other things steal stuff. And it's even the reason why you've got a code on your phone. People steal. And here we're told that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he wants to take, this is the lie. I'm the one that wants to steal your fun. This guy's going to steal your heart, your soul, and take everything. So I want to introduce you to someone. He has a little sheep. What should we name him? So there were Zoom people. What do you want to name him, Amelia? Sorry, what do you name? Okay, sorry. Okay. Here is Lammy Rosie St. James. Okay, it's a lovely little sheep. I built him last night, and a lot of care went into it, and I want to look after him. And it's a bit like that and God. He says, I'm the shepherd for my sheep. I love each and every single one of you. I made you. In fact, all the blood that flows through your body is doing it because I'm willing it to do. The fact that there's air in your lungs right now, I'm the creator, ruler, and sustainer, Jesus says, and the fact that there's air going in and out is me controlling that. You and you're mine. You're my sheep. But what happens is if a thief comes, that's not his. And so if there's ever something that's not yours, you might not take care of it as much nicely. A library book you might not treat as well as your own book. And Jesus says, I care about you. But what's the thief come to do? I'll read it again. It says, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. And so what the thief wants to do to you the devil, the one that's opposed to you, he wants to do that. And this is what he's going to say. Jesus is not more fun. Come follow me. And the thief might not actually come and do this. This is what the thief's lie is. The thief is saying, I'll give you something else that's better. Where do you think life really belongs? What do you care about? And so maybe you might think it's my friends at school being cool. Maybe it's the latest phone. Maybe it's being popular. Maybe it's boys. Maybe it's girls. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's being safe. Maybe it's having a wife or grandchildren or having a successful children or having a nice home. Maybe it's that. And let me say that all those things will not help you. They'll destroy you. Some of them are really good things, but they're not God. Destroy. And let me say the devil, I don't know if you've ever read any parts of the Bible, what happens when there's people that are possessed by the devil or in the they hurt themselves, they do horrible things. There's one of, I think, this is one of Ben's favorite stories, is when the Jesus let the demons go into the pigs. And what do the pigs do? They ran down the hill and killed themselves. Really weird story. It's just because the devil wants to destroy and God cares for you, his sheep. So if you want to follow any other way, it might say, oh, this is more fun, but it leads to destruction. Because I've come that you may have life and live it to the full. So my question is, those that have been a Christian for a while or just become, does life get better? Is life better being a Christian? Is life better being a Christian? Well, you're still affected by the same thing. Pain, there's hurt, there's dying. The blind man that I told you about, his life's gotten a bit better. He can see. That's great. But now criticized and judged and his family are being called in. His life is more difficult now that he's following Jesus. So it can't mean that your life's going to be way better. That's a lie for to say everything's going to be rosy from here on out. What life to the full means is that one day when you die, you'll be in his eternal life. But let me say this. Any of you that have been a Christian for a while, and young people, you can maybe after the service ask someone, would you give it up? Is life better without Jesus? Let me say, my personal experience, life made me more difficult. But he's a rock, someone I can depend on and carry. He tells me who I am. I remember being 12 years old, going to the bathroom at school and looking in the mirror and just suddenly going, who am I? What's this all about? I know my name's Scott, but I just don't know certainty. And it was like there was this giant in front of me of just uncertainty. I didn't know what life was about. And I've never had that before since I've been a Christian because I know I'm held and looked after. There's a good shepherd. A shepherd who's looking after me and keeping me safe and protected. And he's not going to let anyone destroy me. So, girls, just wait a minute. So this is what we see. The lies that the world lies. Jesus isn't the only way. Come on. Jesus is just going to wreck your fun. Life is better without him. And if there's any teenagers at home, we can discuss this on Tuesday or we've spoken about this. A lot more things you think life is... Following Jesus is like putting handcuffs. Let me say, no, you haven't lived until you're in a relationship with Jesus. That's when life gets really full. Not necessarily easy, but better. Because he's with you and he's protecting you. He is so good that, as I said, he came and he said, I love you so much, I'll protect you so much, that all the killing and destroying that the thief wants to unleash on you, I'll take on me for you so that you didn't have to do it. And listen to this, what he says here. Whoever enters the gate, this is verse 9, through me will be saved. He who comes in and out and will find pasture. For pasture is a good place to eat, something good. And that's what Jesus promises. The lie. Jesus says, I am the only way. Trust me, I died for you. Life will be more full with me. Life without me isn't better because I do not want to destroy you. A thief will come over the wall, steal a sheep, and end up probably in a pie. You don't want to be that. So listen to God, the good shepherd. He loves you so much that he laid down his life for you. Amen.